That was the attitude of the religious leaders in Jesus' day. You know, I think in some ways not much has changed among the religious people in our day. The false professors of our day may speak about the deity of Christ, but they don't believe it. You see, they prefer to deify the will of man and to create man-centered doctrines that diminish the deity of Christ. We find this to be especially so when you look at the modern version of salvation that so emphasizes man's part in his own salvation. You see, those who don't really know Christ want to glorify their own flesh and give themselves a part in salvation. And that's a false doctrine. I've actually heard preachers preach, you know, God does 99% of the work, but you've got to do that other 1% by coming down that aisle and saying this prayer. Folks, we don't do 1%. We don't do anything. It is God who saves. It is God who gives spiritual life. Now, once we're quickened, yes, we believe. Yes, we repent. Yes, we make a profession of faith. Yes, we can be baptized, join a church, serve in a church. All those things become opened up to us because God has given to us spiritual life. But so many today want to emphasize man's part. And what they're really doing when they do that is rejecting the deity of Christ. Now back to our text, verses 8 and 9, we see a third thing. Here Jesus responds with a mind-boggling question. Verse 8, and immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? In other words, they hadn't said anything out loud, okay? They are reasoning within themselves. And Jesus knows it. He perceives it in his spirit. As God, he knows what they're thinking. He knows what's on their hearts. And so then he poses a question to them, whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? So he poses a question at these religious experts. Now, let's understand something and not glance over it or water it down or anything. What these men have reasoned in their heart is blasphemous. They are accusing God of blasphemy. They are accusing the one who does not, will not sin, of sinning, of lying. They have attacked the very character of Jesus. And he doesn't let that go. He defends his name. He defends who he is. And he comes right back at them with two defenses. First, and I don't know if this just went right over their heads or not, the first thing he does to prove his deity is to tell them what they're thinking. That should have given them pause. Whoa, wait a minute. This man knows what I'm thinking? How did he know I was thinking that? But they just go right on by that. It's like they ignore it, they block it out because they don't want to know that he is God. It reminds me of the first time I had a sleep study done. I have sleep apnea, so I sleep with this mask, you know. And the first time, and this is in the early days of when they were first figuring this out and everything, so things were really clinical. I don't know. But all I know is I go in and they hook all these wires up. I have wires hooked to my from my head to my feet, okay? Electrodes on my chest, all these things glued to my head, you know, all this stuff. I'm all hooked up. And they then tell you, well, all right, go to sleep. Now, if I didn't have sleep apnea, there's no way I could have slept. But having sleep apnea, it didn't take much. When I lay down, my body would just pass out. I would try to go to sleep. The problem is I wouldn't get deep sleep or deep into sleep like I should. Anyway, in the middle of the night, I wake up, and I have to go to the bathroom. And I'm laying there with my eyes closed. I haven't moved. And I'm thinking in my head, do I really want to ask this guy to come in here and unhook all this stuff so I can go to the bathroom? And about that time, he comes over the loudspeaker and says, do you need to go to the bathroom? My eyes popped open. I'm like, I wonder what kind of wires does he have hooked up to my head here, you know? But it was typical for someone who has sleep apnea. That's something that happens. So he knew that. Wasn't anything special there. Let me tell you something. When Jesus turns and looks at these men and he tells them what they're thinking, that's pretty amazing. It takes God to do that. I can't read your mind and you can't read my mind. Now, we may be able to figure out things sometimes by our expressions and things like that and figure out some of what we're thinking, but nobody can truly read your mind but God. And that's exactly what Jesus did here. He read their minds. And that should have told them right then and there all they needed to know. This is God. But they didn't get it. The second thing he does is he asks them a question. He says, which is easier? And he looked at the man there who is paralyzed. And all these people probably know this man and know that he's paralyzed. They know how long he's been paralyzed. They know it's a real thing, that he's not faking or anything like that. And Jesus looks and he points at that man and he looks at these scribes and he says, tell me, which one's easier? To say that this man's sins are forgiven or to tell this man to get up and walk? All right, scribes, tell me, which one's easier? Now, we might think on that and reason on that a while, and probably we would mostly agree, I would think, that it'd be more difficult to forgive a man his sins than it would be to heal him. But let me say this. Which one of you could have healed that man? Which one of those scribes could have healed that man? He's paralyzed. Only God could heal that man. It takes God's power to heal that man. So what Jesus does to prove that he is God and he can do the one, he does the other. He's already told the man his sins are forgiven. Now, there's really no way for anybody there to know that, right? If God forgives your sins, the only one that's really going to know that is God, and then you to some degree, right? Now, your life that you live after that will show something, okay, and give evidence to it. But the only way, only God and you can really know your sins are forgiven, right? So these people might be uncertain about that. But when Jesus tells this man to take up his bed and walk, what is that? That is confirmation that he is God. He says this, and he does this, and this backs up this. And by the way, that's what his miracles are all about. Well, that this takes us well into the fourth point, and that is that Jesus indeed proves his deity. Look at verses 10 and 11. "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house." See, all the miracles that Jesus performs during his ministry were for the purpose of confirming his deity. All of them point to him as being God, as being who he says he is, the Son of Man, the Savior of his people. All that he does points to that. And that's what this does. This emphasizes the fact, by healing this man, who nobody else could heal, proves that he can forgive that man his sins, because he is God. His miracles provide evidence of this. We all know about John the Baptist, who was sent to be the forerunner, who was sent to pave the way for Jesus. And he recognized Jesus when Jesus came that day, and he was given the blessing of baptizing Jesus. But once that happened, Jesus' ministry began to grow. And John the Baptist's ministry began to diminish. And within a short period of time, John the Baptist is put in prison by Herod. And while he's there, and we can sympathize with this, he's having some doubts. And in Matthew chapter 11, verse 2, says, "Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" And John the Baptist had already proclaimed Jesus as the one who was to come. But now maybe he's having doubts, and he wants some confirmation from Jesus, and he's heard about these works that he's doing. And this is how Jesus answers, verse 4. "Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." Jesus tells them, go tell John these things, because all of these things prove that I am the one who was to come. And so they go back and they tell John. Jesus has proven that he can forgive our sins. Now let's look at verse 12. Still not done. Jesus has said it. But will it be done? And what happened? So the fifth point is this. The multitudes are going to be amazed, while the religious people are going to go away with hardened hearts. Verse 12. "And immediately he arose," this is the man who was paralyzed, "took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion." You know what the difference in Jesus healing and men healing? Men can heal. Doctors can heal. There are certain things, certain maladies, certain illnesses that we can heal, that we can take care of. You know what the difference is, though, between when we heal and when God heals, other than God does the impossible kind of stuff? When Jesus heals, it is immediate. This man doesn't stir around a little bit, and you say, you know, I think I might can walk. Maybe I can ease up here a little bit and take a step or two, and then maybe tomorrow I'll be a little better and I can take a few more steps, and maybe by the end of the week I'll be able to walk half a mile or so. That's not what happens. When Jesus speaks, this man is immediately healed. This man hops up off the bed. This man is so healed that not only can he walk, he can pick up whatever it was they were carrying him on, throw it across his shoulders, and walk home. There's no waiting around. There ain't no kind of healed. This man was all the way healed. You can't be kind of saved either. You're either all the way saved or you're not. This man, who just moments before couldn't be brought to, through the crowd to Jesus, now goes walking out of there, and I can just see the crowds parting in front of him. He didn't have a difficulty at all getting out of that place. People, I think, step back in awe and amazement. Look at what's happened. Don't know what his name is, but say it's Fred. Fred's been paralyzed for however long. Look at him, he's walking. They were amazed. There was no doubt but that God had healed this man. And because this man who was standing in front of them had told him to get up and walk, then this man must be God. Some believed. Some were amazed. The religious people weren't. They'll go away with hardened hearts. Harder hearts than they had when they came there. Now, the scriptures don't say that here. But whenever the scriptures record their reaction, the reaction of the scribes, of the Pharisees, of the Sadducees, it's always evil. They're always talking about, we've got to get rid of this guy. They even go so far as to say, we've got to kill this man. How are we going to do it? And plot among themselves. In some cases, they literally pick up stones and they're ready to stone him right then and there. Only he would disappear because it wasn't his time yet. The scriptures never record that they have something good to say. I want to ask you a question this morning. Who can forgive your sins? Who can forgive your sins? Examine yourself. Do you have need to be forgiven of your sins? If you do, go to Jesus. Because he is the one who not only can forgive your sins, but who wants to forgive your sins. He is the one who has paid the price so that your sins can be forgiven, so that you can be washed and made white as snow, so that you can stand in front of God the Father in his presence, clothed not with your own righteousness, but with the righteousness of Christ. And so that God the Father can look upon you and accept you as one of his. There's only one person who can do that, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on him. Find forgiveness of your sins in him. Find cleansing in him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, O Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, for the blessings of this scripture that we have read here. For the knowledge, the heart knowledge, I pray that indeed Jesus is the Son of God and he can forgive sins. And I pray that everyone here would find in Jesus the forgiveness of their sins and would find in Jesus that eternal life that he gives to his people. Oh Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. What number shall we?